This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out.
Guess who's in for the boys today?
Somebody's got morning baseball wood.
That's right. My Louisville slugger is fully out this morning.
It was bat day at the game yesterday, obviously, for all fans, whether or not you were at the game or not.
It's a Waddle and Sylvie.
Remember that? The old bat day where they give you a bat?
They started wasn't it at Dodger Stadium? And there was a full scale riot or something. Like they were hitting each other, or they were throwing them on the field.
Yeah, that's what you, as a kid, you wanted to go to these special days. And now, listen, I've never been to the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati as an adult, but back when the Reds played at Riverfront, the games you would want to go to were special games, like bat day. It's bat day. Get a Johnny Bench bat.
Did they give out the full bat?
Like, yes.
When I was a kid, they gave out the mini bat day. Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, bat day.
But then there were fights.
Of course. But back in the ball day, come to the Cincinnati Reds versus the Dodgers ball day. Two innings in, there's 10,000 baseballs on the field because no one can control themselves and act like a normal human being.
Which is ironic because you spend the entire game hoping you catch a baseball.
No question.
You know, and you're begging everyone, throw me a ball. And then you get the free ball during the turnstile. And then what do? You just throw it back on the field because you act a fool.
Last night was bat day for baseball fans.
Yeah.
Kind of metaphorically.
So Waddle and I are in for Cap and Hoodie. This is what's going on today. This is the reason. It is not spring trading on Wednesday. It is Wednesday. Our days are all screwed up because of the Tuesday spring trading that is going on during March. This is not spring trading. What prompted this is we have a White Sox game on today. So that is on at 3:00 today. So we had a short show today. Hoodie was already taking vacation today. So with Hoodie already out, they just said, hey, why doesn't Cap do the solo show,
the short solo show,
and let him sleep in today? Waddle and Sylvie will do the morning show for the next couple of days. So we're in today, and we are in tomorrow. So
Well said. There you go. That's been described.
Yes.
We'll be here tomorrow as well, so get your sleep tonight. What will you watch tonight that will have you excited and you can't get to sleep?
Bulls basketball.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Bulls and Sixers.
Can they sweep the Sixers in back-to-back days? But we'll get to that. Yeah. Yes, I was fully aroused last night. I had my Team USA chubby on, but by the end of the game, it was the Shohei show.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Major League Baseball, the World Baseball, you know, classic. Okay, we can talk about it from a broader spectrum, but for Major League Baseball, you could not have scripted a sport that is looking to gain traction with younger fans and become, you know, the apple of you know, the sports watcher's eye again. You couldn't have scripted better last night.
No, because you never truly have viral moments like you do in football, like you even have in the NBA, in baseball. And like you said, a lot of people, including me, when the WBC was first created, thought, what are you doing? You are trying to create an Olympic-type event that no one is going to be into, that no one is probably going to want to play in, that no one is ready to play in, that you are in an exhibition mode, and now you're going to try and force them to be in playoff mode, and there's no real good time to play in this tournament, but somehow, some way, guys have bought in.
Yeah.
And every person who has played in this tournament have said that this is one of the greatest things that they have been a part of.
Well, the Dominican team, I think Jonathan and I were talking about it, that there's five or six of their players that said this is significantly more important to them than anything World Series related. So, look, and again, if I told you before the first pitch was thrown, if I asked you, what would you want as a climax moment, baseball terms?
Yeah.
How would you write this script? If you could, to kind of enjoy the moment, stand on center stage and say, look at us. Could you have written it any better?
You got it. The dream was to have we knew Shohei Ohtani was not going to start the game. Everyone said Shohei will probably close the game if given the opportunity. So the dream was to have Shohei Ohtani face Mike Trout in this game.
Yes.
In the ninth inning. Not only did you get that, but you got Shohei Ohtani face Mike Trout in a one-run game with two outs. And then he struck him out to end the game, and it was a 3-2 count.
It was. That's what I mean. Like, you could not have scripted this better if you're Major League Baseball. You just couldn't have.
They got very lucky. I was telling Shay this before. In football, whenever it, remember 2 years ago when we had one of the greatest playoff games ever, and we had Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. We had the Chiefs against the Bills, and it was so good offensively that it prompted an overtime rule change. This is so good, we must have both quarterbacks touch the ball. It was unfair that Josh Allen didn't get his turn to match. Like in baseball, where both teams get to hit in the top and the bottom, we must have a top and the bottom of overtime. So it prompted a rule change. But the point is we know on offense that Patrick Mahomes will always get a chance to be featured whenever the offense is. But we don't always know in baseball that Mike Trout is going to get his chance. So in the semifinal game, to lead off down one, Shohei Ohtani against Mexico led off the ninth inning, and he led off with a double. Baseball got very lucky,
yep,
and it came through, and it made it a viral moment. And then in this game, baseball got lucky because in a one-run game, it was Mike Trout up with two outs,
yep,
up against Shohei Ohtani, and it was primetime TV.
There's no better way to start the Major League Baseball season than what you watched last night. Now, whether or not this will have the traction that some expect, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I think that Major League Baseball could not have asked for a better tournament and a better conclusion to the tournament with regard to how their sport is advertised, especially to the younger fan base or the potential younger fan base. It was a great marketing. It wasn't a ploy, but it was a great marketing event for the game, for sure.
Yes. 312-332-3776. Was this a game and a tournament that you're going to remember? Is that an at-bat that you're going to remember? And my takeaway, 12 hours later, not even 12 hours later, that game ended at 10 o'clock. And I was disappointed, obviously, rooting for the U.S. There were so many good things, and we'll get to Kyle Schwarber in a minute. But as a Cubs fan, and I'm wearing my Cubs hat, you could see it on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Cubs underwear to match.
Let me see. No. Well, no. I mean, it's like a
Cubby blue
not
underwear.
Not really a Cubby blue.
No.
Jockey underwear. Boxer briefs. You boxer brief guy too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that about you.
That's weird.
Well, I mean, well, it was 16 years together.
Yeah. No, I know.
My big takeaway is Shohei Ohtani is a free agent next year. And all my friends say, Sylvie, it's not happening. It's not happening. And I probably think that too. But Shohei is a free agent next year. And like what do we think? We think $500 million?
Half a bill. Yeah.
Half a billion. And I know it's not apples to apples. I know it's a different sport.
His contract will be worth probably what someone would give you for the Cincinnati Reds.
For the entire team?
For the entire team. And the stadium. And
the Cubs make money hand over fist.
Yeah.
What they're worth, what they bring in, everything. All of it. And I know the Dodgers bring in even more, and the Yankees and all and the Mets and everything. But and it's not apples to apples. But if Daniel Jones can make $45 million a year, Daniel freaking Jones can make $45 million a year. I want to pay Shohei Ohtani to pitch and to hit over $50 million a year. I would have no problem as an owner what he could bring in for my organization and pay for himself in sponsorships. In you can now get your jersey with the title sponsor and put the patch on. Think about the sponsorship opportunities that you can bring in. I have no problem paying Shohei Ohtani over $50 million a year.
Well, I think that,
none.
I don't think he will. I don't think you'll pay for it completely, but you'll subsidize the hell out of it. Subsidize it with what you're saying. The sponsorships that you'll be able to sign. You'll never have an empty seat in your ballpark whenever he's there, especially when he's pitching. He will create revenue that will help pay for that contract. And, oh, by the way, if you're interested in winning, he'll have an impact on that as well.
He's going to get you so much. He's going to get you eyes. He's going to get you a two-way player, which is unheard of. He showed you yesterday that I don't know what the shelf life is on a starter and a hitter. How long can he start? How long can he be dominant as a starter? He even showed you yesterday that if he's not going to continue to start, he can close. He can think about the possibilities that if he's not going to be a 30-game-a-year starter, he could even be your closer and a hitter.
He's the most marketable player in baseball, and it's not even close. So from a business perspective, you're going to get return on your investment just from the monetary side, not to mention how much better he'll make your team.
Yes, that's what I like. Yeah. He could save games, and he can hit 40 home runs. He could win games as a starter, and he could hit home runs. This isn't a one-way player. Why in all of sports, when you look around and you see all the different athletes who are making $40 million a year, what is Zach going to be getting? And I know, again, it isn't just baseball. It's apples to oranges. But with Daniel Jones and what other athletes make these days, I would pay Shohei Ohtani, if I'm Tom Ricketts, easily $50 million a year over 10 years, and I wouldn't shy away from it. No. Step up to the plate, Tom.
I am. I'm stepped up right here. Okay. I don't have $50 million a year. Look, the other sports have salary caps. Like, there's no restrictions in baseball. So, like, you don't have to worry about how this is going to affect your payroll. You're going to have to pay for it, but you're going to get something in return. Like, this is an investment, yes, not just in terms of your wins and losses, but this is going to be an investment with regard to the dollars and cents.
Yep. 312-332-3776. Your thoughts on the game. How much will what you saw last night and in this tournament stick with you as a sports fan? Is this going to resonate more than just a baseball game? And then Shohei Ohtani, as a Cub fan, will you demand that Tom Ricketts steps up to the plate with the big boys? This is Major Market Chicago. This is Wrigley Field. Should he pay whatever it costs for Shohei Ohtani? Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and Hoodie.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and J-Hood. Cap's working our shift with the early Sox game. Hoodie's on vacation. It was great to hear the two of you yesterday.
Yes, it was enjoyable. Spent 2 hours with Jonathan. It was fun.
It was with Carmen in our slot yesterday. Spring training's been a lot of fun.
I heard Carm, I heard a little bit of the show when I was walking my dog. Heard Carm had a good death story in Waddle's world.
Yeah, about having a decomposed body in the earth.
Yeah.
And then
I think I said to Carm,
it freaked me out.
Yeah, I said to Carm, listen, death stories are allowed in Waddle's world. It's just how you present them. And I thought he presented it perfectly. Perfect death story presentation in Waddle's world.
Mad Mac in Indiana, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mac?
Hey, just hearing the baseball TV ratings, I guess what, the Cuba-American game got a 1.0?
I didn't see that. That's right.
The semifinal USA-Cuba was a one share.
No, it was a blowout, too.
Last night's game was the most watched baseball game in the history of the sport, wasn't it?
In the history of the sport?
Yeah. Worldwide.
With Japanese TVs.
Well, I mean, it was the World Baseball Classic. The world was involved. I mean, there was an appetite for it worldwide.
Yeah, possible, but there's just too many baseball games. You got 162 on a year, but they don't count till you get, to the last 10.
Well, isn't that the problem with
baseball?
Mad Mac, isn't that what made this thing so good?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sudden death. I mean, you can't beat a one-game showdown. I mean, one-game shootout, that's fantastic. But Major League Baseball, and I got to tell you, that you got a commissioner that never punished the Astros, that's appalling. You know, fake wrestling on TV is more real than the World Series.
Going to be able to gamble on that soon, too.
No, you can gamble on anything. You guys got to get better apps, by the way. You can't bet on Illinois stuff. You either got to get out of that state or get a real app, guys. Come on.
Mad Mac's got thoughts today.
Yeah, he does.
No, I don't
We're
like a lot.
We're working 7 to 10, and we also have power over the gaming industry right now.
Yeah. Mad Mac, thanks.
Look, I think the line said nobody cares about baseball. Look, you can make a very good case that the enthusiasm for what we saw last night will wane. Maybe more so for the casual baseball fan than the diehard baseball fan. But you can't deny that for a sport that is looking to gain traction with fans, especially younger fans, I think last night was important for the sport. I think the rule changes that have been implemented will probably have a greater impact on the game when all is said and done, when calendar 2023 is tucked away. But last night was important for the sport. How much glow will still exist a week from now? I don't know.
Well, it's tough. I mean, you're going from a winner-go-home game where it's the most magical moment to 40 degrees. Oh, if you lose this game, you're 0-1. No big deal. You know what I mean? It's a pacing game. It's a slow burn, baseball. Mikey in South Beach, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
What's going on, my guys? Fortunately, I was fortunate enough to go to 5 games over the last 2 weeks down here in Miami. I'm Puerto Rican, so I was able to go to 4 out of the 5 games they played. I mean, there's nothing like a Wednesday night in March when you have Puerto Rico versus Dominican Republic. You have almost billions of dollars on the field with Manny Machado, Devers, Soto, Lindor, and the crowd. There being a line of people trying to get in 3 hours before the game. The passion that the fans come with. And it's not like any other baseball game. You see people walking down the aisles with 6-foot drums and bongos and congos. And it was just an amazing experience. I think, I don't know if this could carry over, like you said, Sylvia, into a season, into a long season that's not going to end until week 9 of the NFL season. But I just think that the WBC is on more people's radars for 2026 and 2029. And, these players have said this means a lot to them. I think there was something like 69% of the TVs in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic on that Wednesday night were all watching this game. So it's hard to tell people that this doesn't matter to people and that this isn't exciting. I mean, the crowd was going insane for a second inning walk. It's nothing like I've seen before. And I've been to Chiefs Niners Super Bowl. I'm a White Sox fan. I went to the Paul Konerko Grand Slam, which led to the Scotty Pods walk off. I've been to different playoff games. I've been to the Bulls Heat Conference Finals. I went to a Celtics Heat Conference Finals last year. There's nothing like this crowd for a baseball game.
Wow. Mikey, thank you.
Well, you can tell. I mean, it was last night's game. I watched the first inning. I watched the ninth inning. I didn't consume it all, to be honest with you. The drama was spectacular. I would never rage against it. I was just more dialed into the NCAA basketball tournament than I was the WBC. But last night, You know, you cannot deny the drama. You could not have scripted that outcome any better, or at least that matchup in the ninth inning any better than what truly happened.
I've got a baseball crazy 8-year-old, and he just was into the whole thing. It helped me too, and he's telling me stuff about the players that I don't know about. Tell me stuff about Jeff McNeil. I don't watch games that don't involve my teams in baseball. Right. This helped me. Like, I don't watch Mets games when they're not playing the Cubs. I watch Cubs games. I watch Sox games.
Yeah.
I don't tune into a national game. I don't care until the postseason. And that's what's different about baseball for me. I watch any NFL game. I watch any NBA game.
It's a provincial sport.
Yeah. David in Downers, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. What's up? Good morning.
Good morning.
Pretty cool call. That guy, Mikey, that just called. That's interesting to hear that 3 hours. People waiting to watch a baseball game, you know, that's just not heard of anymore, you know. But anyways, I'll get to the Shohei thing. I agree, Sylvie, this is a no-brainer, right? I'm not a Cub fan. I'm a diehard Sox Southsider. And
he should be on your radar too, David.
You what?
He should be on your radar too. You're in a big market as well.
I get that, but Reinsdorf is never going to fork out that kind of money. It makes no sense why you wouldn't, right? Because you're essentially getting a guy, let's say $50 million a year, right? $500 million over 10 years. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
I mean, you're talking about a guy. Think about it. You go out and get an elite pitcher, and you get an elite bat or an elite first baseman. You're paying $55 to $60 million, right, for two positions. You're getting more bang for your buck with Ohtani. You know what I mean? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And now you're talking about international dollars. I would imagine the Angels make a crap load of money in Japan off his jersey sales alone, right?
It's funny, David, because I don't know the number. I'd be interested. But from a marketing perspective, how much of that $50 million a year could you recoup based on marketing him, the most marketable baseball player internationally in the game currently?
Right, you could write off a lot of that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much.
It's 10 or 20 million a year that you could generate
Whatever that patch is that you could put on the uniform, the price per year will go way up.
Yeah.
Because of him.
I don't want to overstate it. I don't know. But you would recoup some of that money just based on his marketability.
Sure. And if you're the Cubs, you could already get a pretty penny for the sponsorship deal. Dave on 290, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dave?
What's up, guys? Love the show. Appreciate you. I watched the finals last night. I'm pretty pissed off. You know, everybody's like, you know, it doesn't matter as much because, you know, it's a newer sport, but it's the USA versus Japan. You know, we're 0-7 with runners in scoring position, and, you know, it was good to get the baseball juices flowing, you know, for the upcoming, you know, Cubs season and baseball season. But yeah, I was pretty disappointed. I did enjoy, though, after Schwarber hit about, like, 5 home runs foul, that he straightened one out on Darvish. I thought we were going to see him unravel, like, us Cubs fans saw too many times when he was in a Cub uniform. So appreciate you guys. And,
thanks, Dave.
Did you cry after the game?
No, I didn't cry after the game, boys. You know, I was just, you know, I don't like losing to fucking anybody.
All right.
Sorry. I don't want to lose to
anybody. All right. Yeah, okay. Do the callers drop F-bombs in the morning? Are you more prone to drop the F-bomb in the morning?
That's 2 days in a row.
Really?
That's back-to-back days. I don't know what's in the water around here,
man.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A little early to be cussing like that.
It is. I was thinking the same question came across my mind. Were you angry or were you upset that the U.S. lost? Because I didn't find myself upset.
I told you about my 8-year-old. My 8-year-old was accusing Japan of using foreign substances on their neck. I don't know.
You're going to have a conversation with him. You really are. The art of losing is a more difficult art to understand than the art of winning.
Well, and the best part is, like, he's a bandwagon Astros fan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he
appreciates a good cheat.
I'm like, you got some nerve. You know, you root for the Astros.
Yeah.
And you're accusing all the other teams of cheating.
Yeah.
There's something like, come on.
Yeah. You're going to have a conversation.
He's 8.
Yeah.
But this is what's cool about it. I want to bring Schwarber up.
Oh,
and again, for Chicago baseball fans, like, The White Sox, who've paid what? Benintendi, 70 what? What, 78 million? What's
something
his contract?
Like that, yeah.
78 million over the length of the deal. They're going to pay Ohtani now 50 some million dollars a year?
No, they're not. But they should. But,
right, I know.
They should.
Like, I think Ohtani would be worth it.
You saw Tim playing second base in this tournament, didn't you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if you saw Carlos Correa playing short in that infield?
Of course, sure. So I think if you still want to weigh in about Ohtani, is Kyle Schwarber one of the most clutch players we've ever seen in any sport in this town? 312-332-3776. He's not beer league. He's clutch league. We'll talk about that. Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap'n Jay Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Oh, the drama last night. Japan took down the U.S. 3-2 in the World Baseball Classic Championship game. Shohei closed out the final inning, striking out Angels teammate Mike Trout for the final out. And of course, our guy Kyle Schwarber had his moment, homering off of Yu Darvish in the eighth. We'll talk about that in a bit. Clippers all-star Paul George left last night's game with an apparent right leg injury. George's right knee appeared to collide with Oklahoma City's Lu Dort. George left the arena on a cart. The Bulls look to stay hot against Joel Embiid with a second consecutive game against the Sixers tonight at the UC. Bulls have won 5 of 6 and remain a game and a half ahead of the Pacers in the play-in race. Those are your headlines.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
All right, we're in for Cap and Jay Hood. Hoodie's on vacation. Cap will be
in. He had to take some time off after he was forced to work with me for 2 hours yesterday. He's like, damn, I'm out. I'm out for a while.
This is it. Need a day or two?
I've been infected by Waddle.
We've got the big anniversary party coming up on Friday. Can't wait for that. That's, of course, going to be on the air from 12 to 6 if you don't have your tickets. We gave away a ton of tickets for that. So it's going to be outstanding. But, yeah, Cap will be in for us today before the White Sox play at 3. So Waddle and Sylvie, normally 2 to 6. And Hoodie is on vacation.
Anybody healthy for the Sox for tonight's game? Today's game? Everybody? Anybody?
I don't think so. I don't think everybody is healthy. No.
Is he out for a while?
I don't know for a while, but I think he has that tweaked calf. Jesse and Carm, they're like, yeah, no more outfield, yeah. but he didn't get hurt in the outfield.
Yeah, I know, but like, you got to lower the risk. Risk-reward.
Do they want
analysis.
A ghost runner for him, too? I mean,
well, no, but
he was just going to first.
I get it, but he's not a plus defender, and he's got injury history. When he came back last year, I heard the guys talk about it. He was mashing. So, like, he's my DH.
I know that.
There's a spot on in the dugout with bubble wrap. Well, there's a seat that's got bubble wrap
on
it.
So are they going to tell him now to jog to first like Tony was telling people last year?
No, but if you put him out in the outfield, he's got a better chance of getting hurt and causing you some defensive issues. So don't do it.
All right. You want to hear a couple of the highlights from last night?
Yeah, I do.
Talk about Schwarber, and then you've got some numbers. This was Schwarber. Yu Darvish, and again, he's got the history as Darvish's teammate, and he homered in the postseason off of Darvish. It was like one foul ball after another, and they weren't just fouled off. They were loud foul balls that like nearly hit the roof down the right field line.
I have like $13 in my wallet. You know me, I don't carry a lot of cash, so don't jump me on the street. But if I had like a giant box of money, I would have felt confident last night pushing it all in after about pitch 7 or 8 of a 13 or 14 pitch at bat.
Why did you like that?
I was too lazy. But if I could, and I didn't realize you could live bet the WBC. You can live bet everything, I know. But that would have been a good moment to push it all in after watching him do it. He was so locked in on Yu Darvish.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what happened? You had to be sitting in your chair saying to yourself, he's going to get him.
The only thing that I was mad about was that there was nobody on. That was it, because I knew, like, you knew he was going to do this.
Line to right field. Kondo turns. There it goes. Straighten it out. Second deck. One run game.
Hoodie texted me and said, if anyone would give up a Schwarbaum, it's Darvish.
Yes.
And I texted back, I'm fully erect.
And did he stop the conversation at that point? He didn't know what to say. He's like, I'm out. I don't need any of this.
Two laughing crying emoji. Yeah,
right.
Like, you know me, I love Schwarber. TMI. I've always loved Schwarber.
Listen, and first of all, I mean, top 10 and being very conservative of our favorite guests to be on the show.
Yes.
Yeah, top 5, top 7, yeah, top 8, I don't know.
You're nice to us, and then you get the benefit of the doubt.
He's just a great guy.
He's a dude. He's just a guy's guy. And I always gave him the benefit of the doubt. Because
wish you were the general manager of the Cubs back in the day. Then.
$9 million was it. And he struggled.
He did.
He struggled. And but when you come back from a devastating knee injury, first of all, you're a rookie and you get called up midway through the season in 2015. And then in your first postseason game, you hit one in the river in a win or go home game. Your first postseason game as a rookie. You're the Cubs, and you're notorious for choking as a team, and you're on the road in Pittsburgh, and you hit one into the river in your first postseason game. You're like, this guy's built different.
Yes.
And then in the Cardinals game, your rival in the elimination game, you're trying to eliminate the Cardinals in game 4. He hits one on the scoreboard, and you're like, this dude is different. And then in 2016, he collides with Dexter Fowler early in the season. Devastating knee injury, one that should keep a guy out for a full year. We watched Derrick Rose sit out for 18 months with a knee injury. Schwarber comes back in 6 months.
Yeah, different sport, but yes.
Different sport without playing in a baseball game.
Yeah.
And then go from not playing in a baseball game in 6 months to playing in the World Series and facing live pitching, and he hits 412. Not only does he hit 412 in the World Series, but he starts the game-winning rally in Game 7 in the 10th inning after the Cubs have just choked that lead away, and he starts it off with a single. Like, those things, for then on, he's already like my baseball hero. So with all the struggles of him leading off, with all the struggles of him hitting 200 or 189 one year, whatever it is, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. And Jed lets him go for $9 million. And I get, again, I acknowledge that he struggled. That's peanuts on a guy that you drafted very early, who's done a lot for
you. He's got the clutch gene. However you define it.
And read the stats, compared to Trout, too.
Yeah, now listen, I think it's unfair to say, well, Mike Trout's not a clutch player, and it's his fault that the Angels have only been in the postseason once since he's been there. Mike Trout has one postseason hit. I believe he's one of 12. It was a home run, but he's got one postseason hit. Kyle Schwarber, in the postseason, is 40 of 165. With 15 home runs, 27 driven, and 33 walks. He hits .242 over 52 postseason games. His on-base percentage is .371. His slug is .527. His career postseason OPS is .900.
.900 postseason OPS.
In the biggest moments, under the biggest stages, under the brightest lights against the best teams, his OPS in the postseason in 52 career postseason games is .899. He's got 15 postseason home runs. He had 6 last year in the Phillies' run to the World Series. He had 6 the year before playing in Boston after he'd been traded.
It's incredible. Guys don't do that. Like, no. One postseason after another. Where do you have the tweet about all the different series?
Somebody sent out the tweet yesterday, and I know it had been going around, but at this point now, he's hit a home run in the AL wild card game, the NL wild card game, an ALDS, an NLDS, an ALCS.
The NLCS,
the World Series, the World Baseball Classic, and the World Baseball Classic Championship game. He's hit a home run in all of those. I mean, I can't imagine there's anybody else that's done that, right?
No.
I mean, and again, the World Baseball Classic, I don't know how long it's been around, but, you know, it's a small sample size for that particular instance. But look, when you talk about clutch players or guys that are built for big moments, I mean, I'm sure that we're living in the moment right now, but I can't remember anyone who's done it as well and as consistently as Kyle Schwarber in the last almost decade.
That's Mr. October stuff.
Yeah.
It's Mr. October stuff. And, like, a lot of guys have bad postseasons. I remember Frank Thomas had an 0-for-13 postseason. Guys, like, we know small sample size. Guys struggle. I think someone we know just called in, too, who was a frequent guest. Is he going to join us coming up next, Shay?
Yeah, he's going to call back.
Okay, so somebody who we know well, who used to be a frequent guest on this show, who still is a big friend of the show, wanted to weigh in on something that we were just talking about and called in as on the caller line.
Nice.
So it's Waddle and Sylvie. We're in for Capper J. Hood. If you want to discuss Schwarber and, like, will this go down in history as one of the worst releases in Chicago sports, the one that got away with Schwarber? And, like, the White Sox had a chance to sign him. He wanted to be a Sox, too. Yeah. He told us on one of our shows he would love to play on the South Side, and they were not interested.
Yeah. Reggie Jackson will join us next. No,
312-332-3776. Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Like, Shay had the camera up on Twitch during the break. I like that. I don't mind that.
Well, you're an exhibitionist.
Yeah, well, like, it gives people...
Look at me, everybody!
People like the behind-the-scenes stuff. People ask, are you going to the beach? You got the visor on.
Am I going to the beach?
You going to the beach. You got the visor.
No, it's usually for the golf course. The beach just doesn't...
So we were talking about the World Baseball Classic. We
very bright in here, too.
Shohei, I got a poll question. I'm eager to see the results. Do you believe Tom Ricketts will pay for Shohei Ohtani?
I don't, but he should.
That's the question. Not should they, will he? We have a guest who has called in. I don't know if it's on the Shohei topic, if he saw that on Twitter, or if he was listening and wanted to weigh in on Schwarber.
Well, it's a good time as well, because the Bulls have made a run here, and maybe dispelling a lot of his nonsense. I'm just kidding.
It's our guy, Nick Friedel, who I believe is going to be at the anniversary party on Friday as well. Nick, what prompted the call-in?
To just call in I'm worried about you guys, because just because you're in the cap time slot doesn't mean you have to have an insane cap topic. And when I wake up, as I usually do, and hit the app and start listening to my friends,
I thought you were just saying, as I usually wake up, I would say, I hope so.
I mean, let's hope so. Let's hope that it keeps going till Friday. I mean, I just wanted to come give you guys a hug, but this insane Schwarber take made me look at some numbers and think about cap sprain had fallen into the Waddle and Sylvie show, which was scary. Is he one of the most clutch athletes the city has ever seen?
Yeah.
We know what he did in 2015. We know what he did. He was awesome.
In 2016?
For all the... Okay, but 2015, 9 games, 5 home runs, the Schwarber bomb off the Budweiser sign, .889 slugging percentage. Awesome. 2016, he had the hit that started it all late in Game 7. We were all there. It was incredible. But I went back. I looked at the numbers. He had 17 at-bats, .412 average. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, guys, 2017, a .176 average, a .300 on-base percentage. 2018, 1 at-bat, 1 strikeout. He was terrible for the Cubs.
They all were. He's a .900 OPS guy for his
52 games in the postseason.
Right, and I'm saying so much of that came in 15 and 16 and what we remember in the city.
It also happened in 2021 and 2022, Nick, with Boston and Philly.
Down. Hang on. 2020, 4 at-bats in the postseason, 3 walks and a strikeout. 2021, 11 games, a .205 average, a .286 on base percentage. 2022, 17 games, a .218 average, a .392 on base percentage. you guys were talking
392
about 392
on base percentage is great. He's not a batting average guy. You don't measure stuff by batting average anymore.
I get it, but I understand that. But we are what you guys are saying is the city has never seen a clutch guy like Schwarber. What? Schwarber had some fantastic moments while he was here. But to knock down Jed Hoyer for not spending
$9 million,
Nick, I think you are in a very small group that believes that that was a defendable position by the Cubs front office. Not only that, but you didn't even tender him; so you got nothing in return for him.
Have I forgotten some gigantic Schwarber tear in those last couple years? He was horrible. What?
You name me other guys who are more clutch in Cubs history than Kyle Schwarber.
In Cubs history, Ryan Sandberg,
Give me their postseason numbers. Mark Grace had a good postseason in 89, but. Like, not you're out of your mind. Like, they didn't win a series. 84, they didn't beat the Padres. They lost in five. They choked. 89, they lost to the Giants.
Schwarber was terrific in 15 and in his moment when he came back in 16. What I'm saying
he
is...
He did one of the most heroic things in 2016, Nick. Like, what he did in 16 is almost unheard of in sports, coming back from a knee injury, not seeing live pitching, and doing what he did in four games. Without him, Cubs fans don't have the World Series memory.
Well, and if he were standing with me at the bar, I'd buy him a beer and tell him you did fantastic, and it was great to watch. But to oversell the last few years there, I mean, he went down to Iowa. He was awful. Like, if we're saying he had one of the greatest clutch moments that we've seen in Chicago sports history.
I don't think you can poo-poo, especially on the biggest stages, under the brightest lights, against the best teams. I don't think that you can diminish collectively what he has done in the postseason. Like, there are others that may have better numbers, but there are others, very talented players, that can't even sniff what Kyle Schwarber has done in the postseason. And it's the moments, it's the time, it's the place, it's when things happen that also, all that stuff has to be factored in when you ask the question, does this particular player have the clutch gene?
Like, Nick, you have some nerve to beat up Zach LaVine. And rightfully so. And then come on here and then beat up Kyle Schwarber, who has done it on the biggest stage, who has won everywhere he's been. You email Jacob Nitzberg and you compare his postseason numbers historically with some of the greats in baseball. And you come back on Friday and join us and you compare them, okay?
That's your homework project. Our time on Friday talking about this stuff.
All right. We got to run
the things that we can hit on.
All right. We're up against it.
This is the problem.
We're
talking about such a small sample size in Chicago. Has he had some great moments for the Phillies last year?
Do you know what a small sample size is? Mike Trout's got 12 playoff at bats and he's got one hit.
Yeah, but I don't care about Mike Trout because he doesn't play
okay.
in Chicago.
I'm just, we're giving it context.
We got to run. You know what a small sample size is? Your brain. No.
Yeah. Hey, the club has three. We know who's in the club. It's Schwarber, LaVine, and Cutler. We love falling in love.
All right.
Mediocrity.
Get out of here.
He's nice to us, though.
See you, Nick. Get out of here. Nick Friedel. Jimmy Butler's in that club, too. He comes through in the postseason. Get out. Nick Friedel. Crapping all over Kyle Schwarber. Shot or no shot coming up next. Waddle
He's
and Sylvie.
He's still
get him out of here, Jay Moore. And Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and Jay Hood. We're back in two.